Welcome back to Pack Your Mics, the Top Chef podcast from the creators of Read It and Weep. Each week we break down the most recent episode of our favorite reality competition show, Top Chef, with summaries, analysis, stark, and sometimes too many biscuit puns.
No.
As we introduce ourselves this week, everybody, how about this? Here's what I want from the panel. When I introduce you, I want you to say your favorite food memory from college. Does that sound good? Can you do that?
Great.
That sounds great.
Ready.
In honor of our back to school special. Ooh, sorry.
Yeah.
No, everything's fine. Everything's fine.
Those were the books. That was
hitting the books, guys.
That was the sound of my memory kicking in. I think my favorite food memory, and I have a lot of good ones from college, but I think my favorite one is the bagel. Bagels were not expensive, and the cream cheese was free. And so, as with a lot of my college memories for food, was how much food can I get back to my house for later? And so, I piled cream cheese, I would say about the size of my head, the height of my head, on top of a single bagel, and then used it for a week. That makes Tanya so sad.
It was gross looking.
It was so gross.
Yeah, anytime. It was like, if you stood a bagel up on its side and stuck it in the middle, like it was that tall of cream cheese.
It was three times the diameter of the bagel and cream cheese. But what we learned from this challenge also watching Top Chef was that in enough quantity, all food is gross.
Yeah, there was a lot of hands in gross food. Megan, what was your favorite college food memory?
Well, I have a lot of them, and the great thing is that a lot of them involve you all.
Aww.
Aww.
Because we, Chris, Tanya, as Alex and I all lived in a house together.
Well, let's just say it. Everybody but Sarah.
Yeah.
Well, but Sarah was also a presence in the house because she and Ez would talk on the phone every day.
I felt like I
was there. We knew her as Sweetie.
Yeah.
And she did come up to visit several times. And so we used to all have dinner together, and it was really fun. And I just remember just laughing
eating,
the whole time.
And eating little tiny pizzas.
And
hard-boiled eggs.
Oh, and we had a lot of them. Yeah, the hard-boiled eggs, we had to break them in different ways.
Yeah. Oh, man, so many good ones.
Well, you golfed with them, right?
Yeah, we golfed a hard-boiled egg and missed the president of the college by 6 inches.
Yeah, because he came to visit us.
and we were golfing hard-boiled eggs out the door.
Yeah.
Really, the showing up unannounced was not the problem there. It was the golfing hard-boiled eggs out the door. That would have been
it to us.
That was our bad.
No, he doesn't announce his presence from the street. He's got to know that might come shooting at his head.
Awesome. Joining us today in Seattle, Washington, from our Seattle studios, it's Chris and Tanya. What are your favorite college memories about food?
My favorite food memory from college is actually not me consuming the food. My friend Kelsey used to take pancakes from brunch. I don't know if this was everyone's college experience, but like brunch was always like a crazy like hungover meal where like you would get half of the way through it and realize that you were still drunk from the night before.
Yeah.
And that's why you were like crying, laughing into your orange juice. But anyway, we would like exit the dining hall after brunch, and Kelsey would just like bring her leftover pancakes with her and see how far she could throw them. And the first time this happened, it wasn't like she explained what she was going to do. We just got outside, and suddenly Kelsey was like whipping pancakes at like the shrubbery. And it was amazing. And there was a lot of laughing.
A pancake throwing drunk.
There was so
yeah. Pancake throwing drunk is a very specific kind of drunk. That's
I'm sure that's true of everybody's college experience. Chris, what about you?
Mine was freshman year when 2 weeks in, my roommate showed me that you could make soft serve ice cream sundaes in drink cups instead of ice cream cones.
Yeah.
So you could take
so as to get more ice cream.
Yeah. Heck yeah. So you could put stuff at the bottom of the glass like toppings, only they were bottomings, and then you do ice cream in the glass, and there's a middle layer like Dairy Queen does, and then more ice cream, and then
peanut butter.
Crap out of it. Oh, yeah, always peanut butter.
Yeah.
Peanut butter's best.
Yeah, and you could, those also smuggled out of the food service really well.
Oh, yeah.
So
you still
could,
in your apartment?
Could,
yeah.
Yeah, oh, yeah, still got some cups. So you could take a, but you, so you could take a cup sundae into class. Whatever class was after lunch usually involved an ice cream sundae.
Yeah. So when I think of college, that's what I think of.
Yeah, definitely. Ezra and Sarah in San Francisco rounded out for us. What are your favorite college food memories?
Okay. So there's a lot of them, but I think one that I'm thinking of is after the racist etiquette dinner that we all went to. So this was a free dinner for anyone who wanted to sign up and learn about etiquette. And like the person running it was surprisingly racist. I think the line was, I think, like, that she explained to some kids at one point that, let's see, the reason we have etiquette is because, you know, some countries, they don't have etiquette, and...
they just eat out of the garbage.
No, the biggest kid eats out of the garbage first. That was the rule that she gave.
Wow. Which is... forgotten about the specifics of this dinner.
Yeah, but don't worry, it gets better.
The important thing is, I guess we were kind of kleptomaniacs with food specifically.
Yeah, so that really is the theme to these stories.
We stole all the dinner rolls we could that were left over, as well as all the extra slices of cheesecake. So we had two full cheesecakes and an unknown number of dinner rolls, and we had our radio show right afterwards. So we said, okay, guys, call in. Whoever can successfully guess the number of dinner rolls that we stole, they will get a free cheesecake that we also stole.
A full mismatched cheesecake.
Yeah, right. All the slices are kind of like off. It looks like sort of like a, I don't know, like a
Peanuts Christmas cheesecake.
Well, I was thinking like Peanuts Christmas Pac-Man, but yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that was like, there's a lot of kleptomania here. That was awesome.
35.
That's
35
the
rolls.
Most.
Anya's was the only story where somebody was trying to give back.
To the shrubberies.
I think we even collected them afterward and like threw them away. I don't even think we just like left them there.
But they did have to smuggle them out of the dining hall, though, Chris. So that was still true.
Lawless place of food.
All right, Sarah. If you could tell me yours, and I would love it if you would just tell me as if it was over the phone, so I'm not there.
Well.
Oh, hey, sweetie.
Hey, guys. How was your day?
So good. What did you do with food today?
Today I didn't go to college with you guys, so I had to actually shop and buy my own food. And my roommate, Sarit, and I would often go to Trader Joe's. We'd have three to choose from, and we chose the one in El Cerrito most of the time. And our favorite thing to get there, they don't have them anymore, and it drives me crazy, but at the time, they had frozen pierogies that you could heat up in the pan or in the microwave. I think we usually did them in the pan. And they were so good, and we would dip them in red wine vinegar for some reason. I don't know if it said to do that on the package, or if that was just a crazy idea, or that's like the only thing we had in the cupboard. But it was really good. And... it's a very fond memory because that was our dinner like four nights of the week.
Later on, when we were buying our own food, there were definitely a lot of like something in the microwave that you could have every day of the week. We had a lot of those meals.
We had like obscene amounts of like, I think, bulk granola, because I think for some reason when we went shopping, I was like, well, bulk means you have to get it like as if you like are establishing a new bulk granola canister.
Yeah. I stole a lot of granola from the
chocolate chips.
Yeah, you did. You also had bags
Chris
of...
Chris doesn't need to be airlifted out of his own house, but it really does sound like it sometimes.
Sorry.
Yeah. Chris also used to get boxes of peanut M&M bags, like a Costco for resale box of peanut M&Ms, and just like there would just be, every time you saw him, he'd have a bag of peanut M&Ms in his hand.
All right, it was the color diet, right? Where he had to eat every, eat the rainbow. Yeah.
All right.
Wow. Okay. As I can understand why you never told me about any of this, because I would have been so jealous.
All right. So let's get into Top Chef, you guys. I really enjoy our reminiscing segments, although they're getting longer. So we're going to talk about Top Chef episode 11 today, where they had to go to college. But first, there was a quick fire challenge. Megan, why don't you start us off describing the quick fire for us?
Sure. So all of the chefs... go to the kitchen and they see the guest judge, which is Questlove from The Roots, who also owns a restaurant. And
well, let's start there, actually. So this is the super awkward thing that I didn't realize. His restaurant has closed since this was recorded.
It was a food truck.
I
think that's true. I'm sorry, that was my weird guess, but I think that it was not. I think that there was a food truck element to something, to like the original part of
so he had a fried chicken place in New York called Hybrid, and yeah, they they could would have been so easy for them to have just edited this without mentioning that, because it was just one brief mention of his restaurant. But it is hella closed. So, I mean, and he wrote a really cool like poem about his restaurant closing on Facebook that I read that was really amazing. Yeah, so a little awkward. Former restaurateur Questlove.
I didn't pick up on that. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Restaurants are hard, guys.
Yes, super hard.
They are super hard.
Every day is restaurant wars for you.
They should have done like the robot Padma voice where it's just like she like dubs over it and like it's like and Questlove also has
formerly
like yeah, nothing.
Not a restaurant. Hey, these are the I love to serve this the drumsticks at my favorite place to eat that is not mine. Thanks, Padma, well, from the future.
Padma bot.
Yeah.
When they were announcing the challenge, there was a little bit of suspense, but Alex just ruined it all for us, for the listener. But they a drum line came out,
yeah.
And there were all these people right. drumming, and it was very exciting. And then behind them was a huge cart full of different kinds of drumsticks, mm-hmm. and their challenge was...
Yeah, yeah, and a big sign that says, get it, question mark.
Surprisingly...
I missed that.
Surprisingly, the only drumstick that was missing was the ice cream drumstick.
Yeah.
My favorite is the one with the caramel in the very center. Oh my gosh, it's so good. So good, you guys.
I definitely wish there had been just the packaged drumstick ice cream cone, and that they had as one of the things
Brian
they could get.
Husky could have gotten it and won.
This is really delicious. I like you kept it whole. You respected the ingredient.
All you'd have to do is just open it up and put it on the plate, and be like, I just wanted to let the ingredients really shine.
I think
you know? CJ, you had a perfectly good drumstick.
Why not make a great ice cream truck, CJ? I would also love if they fried it. I would love fried drumsticks that way.
Ooh, that could be really good.
Yeah.
Carrie just like got a bunch of white wine and kept them cold until it was time to come by.
And so so they had like turkey drumsticks and little drumettes and ducks squab. And squab.
Squab.
Goose.
Wasn't there like quail? Maybe.
Yeah.
I think there's quail.
Sure. Yeah, a lot of good. So let's see. Yeah, quail. Oh, yeah, because Nicholas made quail pops and they were not good.
It's just they're the cute. Saddest kind of pop.
Quail flops. Oh,
Nicholas had some condescension.
Get it?
And when Carlos was, Carlos got this like goose drumstick and was trying to chip away at the bone thing. And he did a terrible job.
Chipping away is not the right. He was trying to break the bone.
He was trying to break the bone.
But it was almost, it was like, what is that? What was that? 80, how many hours? A million hours. 77 hours. 87
what?
Hours.
What?
Oh, 127 hours. The 127
hours, thank you.
Yeah. Just hours and hours.
I was like, what are
just
you
like
talking?
A lot of hours. No, but yeah. Like him like trying to break that turkey bone was like,
yeah,
oh god.
Right? It's like Carlos, James Franco took 127 hours to do it, and you are no James Franco.
Oh.
Quick fire.
Well,
come
then
on.
Nicholas is over there being like, you know, Carlos didn't go to culinary school, so and there are just yeah. some things you know how to do or you don't.
Yeah. Everyone else got their culinary school graduation bone saw. So.
Just a pomp and circumstance and a bone saw.
I would love to see like Carrie like you graduate with like a bone saw that she like throws up in the air. Like.
Oh god. Turn the tassel on your
cut her hair on the way down.
You turn the tassel from one side of your bone saw to the other. And then you graduate. So so we had Nicholas, Justin, and Carlos on the bottom for Quail Pops drumettes and overcooked goose with bone shard. And then consecutively. And then in the top was Carrie with her squab and fig jam, Nina with jerk hen, and Brian with chicken soup, which was good and crunchy. What do you guys think of this challenge? Do you guys like... What do you think of, instead of sponsored quick fires, pun quick fires?
I think it's a better result. Fires. Yeah.
What, Chris?
Oh, I think they're the best quickfires.
Really? I don't know how many other pun quickfires they could be, but that's a good one.
I don't like them having to run for the food.
Yeah.
Again, just
slash
bring
wrestle.
Bring back the knife block. It's just, it's more civil.
More
know?
Knife block. Hashtag more knife block. Yeah, they didn't just have to run for it. They had to wrestle for their ingredients. It was first come, first serve. And once somebody touched a plate, you couldn't have that plate. And there was clearly...
Surely
nosedived like into the cart of drumsticks.
I think it's a great. And if you, here's the thing: if you don't think you're going to win on strength, I think you should try to win on sympathy, and that's what she did.
Yeah, so. That's what she did.
Well, that's funny. I didn't feel bad for her at all because was it Nicholas who picked her up? And in so doing, got the worst drumsticks. So he opted to save Shirley's life over getting a good drumstick. And so I felt mostly sympathy for him. And then Shirley did well and didn't... Shirley was in the middle.
Did middle.
But there was no discussion. It wasn't like the thing that happened later that I'm sure we'll talk about. Like, it wasn't like he was like, oh, Shirley, I'm so glad I picked you up. Now, can you just move so I can get to the, oh, no!
The good one!
That's what I wanted!
Like, he was not using good
like
communication
it was just
skills.
Like miscommunication moment.
Yeah. These guys are not making a good relationship, Shirley and Nicholas. They really need to talk more. Talk about their feelings.
On another note, I was very pleased that Brian actually cooked something in this quick fire that looked good and was creative and did well.
And I've often said to myself, I wish that soup was crunchier. So. Yeah.
Actually, I have often said that to myself, so don't joke. Don't joke.
It was Brian's time to shine. And the way they were setting him up, it did not seem like that. Like, when he got, like, he had, like, his weird, like, interview where he was like, I could use immunity from elimination.
Yeah. I love calling them uh-oh interviews. That's great.
Or like Stephanie's uh-oh interview where she's like, yeah, this turkey leg is really big. I don't know what I'm going to do.
Yeah, I agree with that. Although I did not... Okay, here's my problem with Brian, you guys. Brian won. He cooked something that they liked and it was not cooked by someone else. Mm-hmm, and I still don't think he can cook. What is it about Brian that even when he's winning, it's not impressive?
But Brian didn't win.
He wins, it does. I'm not
I
filled with confidence.
It's because he talks like this, and he probably got stoned earlier.
Brian
he was in the top three. He didn't win.
Yeah, he got top three for both.
He was in the top three for both, though. He's in the top three for the quickfire and the elimination. And both times, I was like, I still. Like,
we really don't believe it.
I don't believe it. There's something about it that still seems unbelievable, and I don't know why that is.
I wonder if it's because he hasn't had a dish that's actually blown people away and looked amazing to the viewer. I think when we're blown away by, you know, Shirley or Justin in the beginning or Nina, it's like it looks beautiful, it's really different and creative, and the judges freaking love it. And with Brian, they're just like, this is really good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And also, none of us can really say, what's a Brian dish look like?
Yeah.
Right.
No
character. Chicken soup.
Mostly, I mean, his hair always gives me the impression that he like somehow napped on his food, like, sprung to action at the very last minute. He's like, oh, I'm just here's some soup.
He does have the hair of a person who takes a lot of naps.
Nap hair.
He's got definitely. Do you guys think so? So we had Carrie won. Carrie won for her perfectly cooked squab and fig jam, and then got immunity for it. Does it seem like to you guys like it's getting a little late for immunity?
I was surprised.
Talking it up, yeah.
I want the you won't have immunity, but you will have a significant advantage in the next challenge.
Yeah, I think that's
start after this.
It's got to be soon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's always fun because the advantage is usually like a disadvantage.
Secretly a disadvantage.
Secret
yeah.
Disadvantage. Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. Your advantage is we will judge you more harshly for this later. I don't know. It felt a little weird. I don't know. With eight, it's starting to feel like, although nobody did well in the elimination challenge. So let's just move on to that and find out, talk more about it. Sarah, why don't you take this one for us? Talk to us about the elimination challenge.
So the elimination challenge was to take over a college cafeteria. I believe they were at LSU.
Mm-hmm.
And feed
home of the live
freshmen.
Tiger.
Yes, they did a tour and that's their mascot, I guess.
Yeah.
It's really hard to get shots of that live tiger, like, not pacing, which I'm pretty sure that tiger does a lot of.
Not sleeping and slowly going insane.
I felt so bad for it. How awful.
Yeah.
That seems terrible.
Right. But
somebody's probably throwing pancakes at him.
What?
Somebody's probably throwing pancakes at that tiger.
The tiger's stealing a lot of cream cheese.
He probably does get fed a lot.
Yeah, it's probably the same as, like, all those, like, Shaws that, like, own tigers now that are on Instagram.
All those Instagram tiger Shaws.
I don't follow a lot of Shaws on Instagram.
That, if they own like enormous lions and tigers, I do.
Yeah, I would. I didn't know about that. All right, sorry, Sarah.
Super weird.
So anyway, the challenge.
I'm so sorry. So yeah, so if they got to feed 500 freshmen at LSU in the cafeteria using only the food they find in the cafeteria and the equipment there. And there's, you know, a certain amount of stations with different types of grills, and it proves to be a bit of a challenge to organize themselves. But
yeah, we had some like oven feuds, I guess.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Although, you know, leading into this
squabbles, like, this
is probably what we're going to talk about. What I love is that Nicholas is now Mr. Organization. And so when they get there, he's like, okay, before anybody starts, let's get together and figure out who's going to be at what station. And like, I just, after how well he did at Restaurant Wars, I want him to be organizing everything.
This didn't happen like the whole season through, I think. It was like, it's only like after he got that disease and recovered, I think. So I think he's infected with an organizational like bug. Yeah, it was like a Captain America's like super serum.
Yeah, he caught the OCD virus and now he's working really hard. All right, so let's talk about the that actually. I think that one of the most important things was the different cooktops available. So it's not a cafeteria like a just one line and people serve. There's like little like mini restaurants. So one has got like a pizza oven and one's got a flat top, and then the rest of them have nothing to cook on, as far as I can tell. so it was
grill. That was actually a question I had, because part of what happened was that Carrie took the cold station
Justin.
Yeah, but sort of by default, and I couldn't tell could they have bargained to have like some space to cook elsewhere, or like then they just like nothing could be cooked, because that seems like
they definitely cooked some stuff beforehand. I think they just
they were probably sharing the prep kitchen, but they couldn't do it. Yeah, they couldn't do anything hot to order. They didn't have a steam table or anything. Like,
yeah,
it was Carrie was great. She added herself to the long tradition of people who, after winning the immunity, phoned it in.
She blanched some broccoli.
Wait a second.
And yogurt.
She cut and blanched broccoli. And
hold on a second, you guys. Really? You guys think you're all down on her for that?
It was very unimpressive. Judges weren't like, well, the flavor on this broccoli is incredible, so we'll just ignore.
No, it did sound terrible and boring, but she did say, like, because I can't get eliminated today, I'm going to take the booby prize of the cold state. I'm going to take the hardest job, the one that, like, you can't succeed from, because it doesn't seem fair for one of you guys to go home on a cold station. Alex,
she could have done so much more than that.
There
she
were
really
two
could
cold
have.
Stations. Justin had the other one. And, like,
and it went so well for Justin.
Well, there's that. But at the same time, it's harder. But I think as a chef, you got to try to do a little bit more than broccoli with some sauce.
Why didn't she do a dessert, you guys? She didn't have ice cream.
Or pudding.
She could have done soft serve in a cup, you guys.
Yeah. Yes. That would have been popular with the children.
Yeah, it would have.
That would have been.
Yeah, so I guess the fact that Justin was eliminated for being the other cold station.
Oh, spoiler alert. Justin was eliminated.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that wasn't why. They weren't like, Justin, your food was cold. Get out.
No, but I think that does reinforce her point that you're much more likely to go home for the cold station. Mm-hmm. And so it was good of her to take that bullet for everybody. I agree that it was boring, but it seemed like she was not being lazy. She like thought this was an impossible task, and so she didn't try as hard because she wanted to let other people shine. And I think
she wasn't lazy.
Fine.
She just gave up early.
She gets no credit for taking a bullet for everybody else.
I think good it was nice taking, of her to take the cold station,
she,
but that's
but
where
she didn't
my,
cook to
my
win.
Like feelings about her end. Like, I don't think that she didn't. Nobody was like, oh, and someone has to cook all the broccoli. Harry, will you do this for us?
I'll do it.
She wasn't competing.
She wasn't. She basically just sat out. She had a bye this round, and I feel fine about that.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah, I understand it, too.
If you're going to sit out around, definitely do it when you have immunity. Absolutely, that's the right time, but...
All right. What about... Brian did well again. Do you guys think... Were you impressed with Brian?
I thought that did not look good, so I was surprised.
The shrimp with mayonnaise?
They love shrimp cakes with bigger pieces of shrimp and smaller pieces of shrimp. That seems like everyone's really excited about this.
Texture thing.
Spinach.
That was the key. He had like mayonnaise covered spinach on top, and
everyone loved the spinach.
Yeah,
my mind was blown. But
because you're comparing it to like mayonnaise-y shrimp chunks. Of course, the spinach would be
compared to this shrimp thing I had to eat. It's really good.
Well, so I guess the key there is that this was, like, after last week, we basically had a cook-your-own-food challenge, and everybody killed it. And then this week, nothing good. Mm-hmm. Like, Shirley's traditional roast beef was good. Brian had a decent mayonnaise, and Carlos, like, despite pissing everybody off in the kitchen, did an okay seared tilapia. But, like,
a great slow fish.
Man of La Plancha, am I right?
Oh, what a... He needed that flat top.
Tanya's so all over good, the puns Tanya. Today.
Oh, that was so good.
Yeah, that was some really like persnickety fish he ended up whipping together.
But did you guys
like? No one cares about anything else, but just if the food is good, it turns out. Like, you're never going to get sent home for late food, just only for bad food.
That's right. Exactly what I was saying the whole time they were waiting, and they kept on doing the, like, scary music. And I was like, if it's good fish, no one cares. Like, no justice, everyone.
I think Gordon Ramsay says that every episode of Kitchen Nightmares, people will wait for good food. If you make them wait and serve them bad food, they will be doubly pissed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Exactly.
But if the food's great, they'll be like, well, it was a day and a half wait.
Yeah.
Worth it.
Although, you know, when Justin, from reading the blogs, when Justin was sent home, part of why he was sent home is that he just didn't do the challenge well. Or no, it was Nina. Sorry. Nina wasn't sent home for it, but they really said she did not perform well in the challenge, not just because her food wasn't good, but because it was inconsistent. She wasn't serving people quick enough, and, like, she really...
I'm sorry. We're not...
done a lot better job.
Oh, yeah. Nina with... The fried chicken.
Fried chicken over the corn puree. Like, the corn puree wasn't ready sometimes, so it was just chicken sometimes.
Well, and also, I thought that we learned a lot about how double frying things is really dangerous before. And I was surprised that everybody was like, double fry that shit. Like, that was surprising.
Well, not shrimp, but chicken, apparently. Maybe shrimp,
Yeah, double fry shrimp, and they freak out. Like, that's the dumbest thing they've ever heard. And you single fry chicken, and they're like, what are you, an idiot?
Okay, but, like, this is kind of a thing where, you know, different foods, producing, like, boil an egg. Okay, great, it's a boiled egg. Like, boil a turkey, that's disgusting. So, like, food preparations are different.
Okay, touche. I really liked Nina's excuse, though, about the corn puree, where she was like, it's a gigantic place, surely they will have a gigantic blender. And then they just had a little tiny home cocktail blender.
Yeah. Although she could have checked, like, before... You know.
Yeah, she didn't adjust once she found the crappy blender.
Also, that was the issue. Like, they just didn't like it generally. Like, the corn puree. Wasn't good.
I love Tom's comment that it was 49 shades of gray.
I did not.
Leave the puns to Tanya.
Tom was so sassy today. He was, like, making fun of the freshman. He was making fun of the tiger mascot. He was like,
"Well, that tiger mascot deserved to die." That tiger mascot was
what? Why did you
scary.
Hate? Really?
Who has fun interacting with a mascot, first of all?
Okay,
you guys.
Okay, you guys.
Hold on, hold the phone.
You need to watch the Hulu show Behind the Mask.
It's amazing.
You have to watch it right now. I'll wait.
Let's just stop the podcast. You guys go watch that show.
So Hulu
good.
Hulu has a documentary show called Behind the Mask on mascots. And it is one of the best pieces of television I've ever watched. It's so good. It's brilliant. And it's episodic. There's like 8, 10 half-hour episodes. And they picked a high school, a college, a semi-pro, and a pro mascot. And they follow them through life. And they're all hilarious and wonderful. And I am so into mascotting now. Okay. I just fully support them.
Jeez. No, Alex and Megan, you know, like, I don't mean to, you know, have you spoil the show.
Uh-huh.
Even though this was interesting and an interesting documentary and you felt for these human beings, do you ever actually like interacting with a mascot in real life?
This is what I'm saying is I appreciate the art of mascotting way more. I see the value that they play in situations, and I see, like, the difference between when it's done well and done badly, and I just like that they exist now. And so if I was there and I saw a tiger mascot, I'd be like, yeah, that kid's probably been at this school for 6 years and he's going to have to graduate later and stop being the tiger, and it's a big part of his identity, and he's going to be so sad.
And you're so happy that he's here for your lunch.
He's so happy. Not speaking with you, but just gesturing at you with, like,
there was
that's
a great
nice and all, but you can leave.
No. There was a great episode of Behind the Mask where Bango, the Milwaukee basketball team's mascot, went to a cooking competition and was terrible at cooking, and it was so funny. And everyone there was glad there was a mascot in that cooking competition. It was so excellent. You guys
Well, we'll have to watch it, and then we can.
I liked everything about that.
And then rewatch this episode of Top Chef.
And then I will have a mascot at every lunch I ever eat.
Oh man, you guys! Somebody at the end of the game, the end of this podcast, somebody better dump the haterade on your head because you've won today. Jeez! Oh, no. Oh man!
Being uncomfortable around mascots was going to get us in such big trouble.
Tom was like playing like got your tail with the tiger, like holding his thumb between his fingers. He was just really saucy with that tiger. I don't know. And Tom was having
saucy
fun
all day. Also, this is an interesting thing about this challenge. I thought, like, usually when you have this size of crowd participating, they have some kind of say. But I feel like that's
interesting
about having a challenge of this magnitude this late in the game. It's like it doesn't make sense to have the crowd vote at all. So, like, people were kind of like, oh, like, Brian has a big line for his food. But, like, it had no bearing whatsoever on, like, the how
did not
it didn't, but it emotionally had a huge bearing on Carrie, because nobody wanted her food and she knew it the whole day, and that must have been hard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I also think I think at least a couple of different chefs also mentioned, like, those rascally kids, they don't know good food if it, like, comes up and swats them with a tiger paw.
They might know a tiger paw, though.
Well, that's an interesting point, too. That's an interesting point. I said to Megan, like, how much fun would it have been if Top Chef had showed up in the Reed Student Center and cooked for us when we were in college? And she pointed out we wouldn't have cared that much because we had never heard of the show. We started watching the show later.
I think you had seen it. You'd seen one, at least you'd seen one season, I think, by our senior year.
By senior year, yeah. But I guess, like, now pretty much everybody I know is obsessed with food all the time. And in college, it really was like microwave pierogies and Frisbee pancakes. Like, the foodie gene.
A simpler time.
The foodie gene kicks in at like 25, it seems like. And I'm not surprised these kids were less willing to try things. I don't know. The first time I ever had Thai food, I was a sophomore. Like,
whoa.
Like
what?
I was like a senior in high school.
Yeah. Like you start trying foods
later.
Later
for me. Yeah.
Yeah.
Whoa.
I will not touch any of those comments.
Okay, you're super worldly. Had you ever had shrimp cakes with mayonnaise sauce?
Yeah, with spinach on them.
Yeah. But I gotta tell you, the pieces of shrimp inside those cakes were minuscule, so I had no idea what I was missing.
Wait, didn't Brian get in trouble earlier for doing different sized vegetables?
No, that was Travis, and he meant...
Oh, that was Travis. Like, you're right.
Oh, also...
I guess this is like boiling a turkey.
Yeah, I was going to say, he says that in what we used to call the stew room, but which was referred to this time as the kill room.
Yeah.
That's intense.
Why did I guess every season of Chefs name it something different, but the kill room?
Yeah, the kill room.
Yeah, the kill room's awesome. Well, so the stew room was something that the chefs called it, but also on, they started saying the stew room to them. Like, you guys can go back to the stew room. I think that became canon recently, and then that's when the chefs changed it to kill room.
Oh God!
Yeah, that is an intense turn of phrase. Yeah.
By the way, I will bring up the line of the night, even though it wasn't Tanya's line of the night. Stephanie, when serving a kid, they cut to her and she says, "Good luck on college."
Yes, awesome. We laughed at that a lot.
Yeah, that is funny. What was Tanya's line of the night?
Oh, I don't know that I had one so much.
Oh, okay.
Sorry. Like Shirley saying, when Brian could not shut up about college, Shirley's like, I guess that's why people think I'm annoying when I talk.
Yeah.
Oh, that was pretty solid. Yeah, so Shirley won for traditional roast beef, which was the best thing that one kid had ever put in his mouth. And then Justin went home for boring-ass shrimp with cauliflower.
I do have a line of the night. And it really
Go for it.
No, when he was trying to like explain where he went wrong, and Gail just kept chiming in, and she was like, a little too chefy. I was like, whoa, Gail.
All right.
That was weird, because it was like, I was so, sophisticated that I just couldn't, handle the challenge. I thought that was dumb.
That is such a... He's going to be appreciated posthumously for that shrimp or something. That's how he sounded.
Yeah. History will vindicate him.
Yeah.
Well, I thought what they were saying was that since it was such large quantities that he had to do, that he wasn't accustomed to that, and so he didn't season it enough, and it was bland because he didn't know how to season, 40 tons of shrimp.
I guess. Right. But there's no chef gene that's like, why don't I under-season this shrimp? that's not a chefly thing to screw up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just boring food. And also...
He swan-dived.
Yeah, well, he did so bad. Let's talk about this. Let's get into our quip fire, you guys. Let me ask you a couple of quick quip questions. Justin's elimination, too soon, or was it his time? You decide.
I mean, I don't remember what happened in the last couple of weeks in terms of our like recording, but I think I was saying that I thought he was going to go home soon.
I think mm-hmm. we definitely talked about this last week. I
called it, actually.
Did you? It was as I definitely thought that. I think we talked about it. I thought I agreed with that for sure, because yeah. we had a nice discussion in the comments with Danielle, who said that she had agreed that it was time for a surprise elimination, but did not think it would be Justin, and then tweeted at us to let us know we were vindicated by that. So.
It wasn't such a surprise, really, anymore.
I mean,
no, exactly right.
In a row before that, right?
He started out strong, right? But then he hasn't been doing well for a while now.
Yeah, if he had gone home 3 weeks ago, I would have said it was too early. But it like now it was like just seemed expected. He's just been continuing his downward spiral and getting angrier and more confused as it went on.
Yeah, right. If you're in the bottom three like three times, and like. Odds are you should go home by now, right?
Right. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Right. Exactly. Yeah. He definitely peaked early too. Like he was so good early on, but then just like he was the tops early on when it was harder.
He seems like he got angrier and angrier about like the way it was going. I guess he felt like he didn't have enough grit to him about being able to recover from mistakes. I guess.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. He didn't play through. All right. So the bigger quip question: Carlos, is he the biggest asshole ever or not at all? You guys decide.
I think he just doesn't...
That was tricky.
Yeah, I think he's just not familiar with calling things. Like, if you were driving in a car together, someone would call shotgun, and then when he got to the car, he'd be like, well, I want to sit in the front seat.
I have the longest legs.
I need to sit in the front seat.
Yeah. Understand dibs. I think.
to also sit in the back seat.
He didn't go to culinary school, so he missed dibs 101.
We actually never really discussed what we're talking about with Carlos here.
Okay, so lay it out for us, Chris.
Yeah, he was cooking some tilapia. At first, Shirley wanted to cook on the plancha. She wanted to do a fried rice, which the plancha is just the flat top.
And by wanted, we mean she walked up saying, I will take the plancha station, I will take the plancha station, I will take the plancha station.
And everyone nodded in the group like, yes, Shirley, you may have that. Except well, they did. Carlos, who then said, you know, actually, my dish, I absolutely need the plancha, and I'm taking it.
Yeah,
I mean, in the cut interviews, it seemed like everybody agreed that was the only good station, or that was the easiest station. And so the fact that Shirley just called it right out, I guess, she gets dibs.
She decided she was making fried rice, and that's what she needed it for.
Yeah, and there is some dibsing that happens with that sort of thing.
There is.
How else are you going to do that?
I don't like the dibsing part of this show. That's so frustrating to me. Like, I hate the idea that you lose just because someone called easy first.
More knife block.
But that's like hating the idea that you lose because you couldn't make hot sauce in 20 minutes. Like, there are all sorts of obstacles.
You gotta lose for something, Alex.
No, I agree with that.
Like, set out by the producers in a super specific way or not is very, like, I don't know. I feel like it's catch as catch can. And if you can't adjust to, like, having the cold station or not getting your plancha, like, you have to, you know, face the consequences.
Yeah, and Shirley, we were applauding her attitude where she said, you know what? Carlos says he really needs this. I think I can make the pizza oven work. I'm going to adjust my dish. And she took advantage of the wood-fired pizza oven.
Yeah, she made pizza oven aid.
That wood-fired pizza oven totally got used in the
And it wasn't for pizza, which they loved. I mean, I agree with that for sure. I don't like when the picking of ingredients or stations comes down to physical or personality might. Like, say, when they wrestled for the drumsticks, it seemed unfair to Shirley because she got taken down. And then when it was just about yelling for stuff, Carlos took the station from her by force of personality. I just wish I like when either the equipment is well distributed and then it's just about who can cook better, or it's randomly distributed and then there's some luck involved. But this is like, it's not about luck. It's about how willing you are to be a douche affects how well you're going to succeed, which just...
Well, I mean, you'd think so, but except Shirley won. So, like, the idea, I think really is it just... the point isn't what you get, it's really what you do with whatever you end up with. I think it's kind of like that's really what they're testing for, I guess.
Yeah, and 2 points on that, Alex, is one is, you know, chef is French for boss. So, you know, these people are all used to being bosses and running around a kitchen and doing that. So, I mean, there is going to be some competition. But, like, I don't see that as that different than, you know, restaurant wars with, oh, I want to cook the meat course. No, I want to cook the meat course. And then they decide who cooks the meat course. Mm-hmm. You know, it's there are always going to be compromises when you're working together.
Yeah.
Who can still succeed?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, yeah, you get rewarded for being more able to adjust. But like, I know that there's a lot of chefness about being like bossness about being a chef. But it's there's no chef skill that is cooking with other chefs when they are taking your cooktops. That's not a normal chef skill. That's not. It's not like
reality chef skill.
It is. It's definitely a reality chef skill. Yeah, there's no Michelin star for the best stealing of planchas. It's like,
but guys, that wasn't even the part where Carlos was being a giant dick. It was when he was cooking his food, he got his flat top, and then what happened was he needed the oven to finish the dish. But Nicholas already was, I mean, his station was oven station.
And right.
So he was just doing stuff with his oven. Well, and Carlos was like, may I use that? And Nick said, no, I'm using it. And then Carlos goes and tells the judges, Nick stole my oven.
I really don't think that he was doing it in a mean-spirited way. I think that there were just, you know, it was sort of like calling things, and I feel like there were just some, like, memos that he didn't get about, like, what you say or how to call things or, you know, what not to say to the judges. I really don't think he was being mean-spirited. I think he was just trying to explain what had happened. And
I think it was a stressful situation. Yeah. Again, the judges standing there saying, where's your food? It's really slow. It's taking forever. And so the first thing he just kind of came out with was, you know, Nick stole my oven. But I agree. I don't think it was.
Yeah, I don't get an evil vibe. I'm actually kind of curious, guys. Like, what would you think if you're gonna build like, you know, the juggernaut like a chef testant? Like, what are the like reality cooking show skills you'd want them to have? Like, in addition to being like very like flexible, I guess, in terms of like calling things. What else do you think they actually need in order to survive?
I mean, you could be like Hung and just claim everything.
Super great at dibsing.
Yeah, yeah. Hung. Well, so there's the two models, right? Because Hung wanted dibsing, and then. Winner Seattle, or no, winner before Seattle. What's his name? Really nice guy, Olympus guy.
Paul.
Baby yeah, Paul, who was like, all right, well, so the ingredients are hidden in ice block. I will get all of the ingredients out of all the ice blocks and give them to everybody, and then still beat you. So I like Paul's method more than Hung's method. Right, I know they're not here to make friends
in every way.
Yeah, yeah. Either be great at dibsing or great at sharing. Yeah, like, those are your two options.
Yeah, I think there's sort of a rational ability to be magnanimous. Like, when you can tell that, like, you've figured out the ice block and no one else has, and you can do it in a speedy way, like, then, yeah, help everyone. But, like, if it's, you know, if somebody is completely sunk, like, no, don't drop everything and, like, go help them make their food. Like, that's insane.
When you watch Masters, right, when you watch Top Chef Masters, they almost always help each other plate. And if somebody is in the weeds, someone will come over. And if you need an oven, someone will take their plates out of the oven. Like, Nicholas's thing wasn't, I need the oven to cook my food. He was like, I'm just using it as a warmer for plates for college kids. Like, that, I mean, it seems like that is the time where a master would have given you the oven and still beaten you. That's the master's way. And I love that. I love when it's like, we're all friends. Yeah. We're competing on professionalism. And we're not here to make friends, but we are here to make a name for ourselves. And one of the things in the chef world you make a name for yourself is playing fair and being great and being a good dude.
Yeah, I guess it's hard to say. It's hard to say without seeing more of the way that decision got made as far as the stations, because it felt like Carlos was really clear about like the one thing he totally needed, and then to like add another thing at the last minute and be like, hey, so not only am I using my station that I already like made a huge deal out of getting, like I also need your stuff and you need to get out of the way or I'm going to tell people you stole it from me.
Totally agree with that.
Not, And I think it's just the use of the word stole, even if he didn't mean it in like a vicious
way. Yeah, he should have really janked or something like that.
Something was taken, which is just not true.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. I agree with both of those. And I agree with Megan that it didn't seem like he meant to say it that way. That's just the way it came out.
Yeah.
And that it didn't end up like sending Nicholas home for stealing it. No. I agree with that. I just, when you set up the challenges, I like it when it's consistent equipment, I guess. Or you could choose any one of these three different cooktops, but when you take one, it doesn't eliminate for someone else. It's your option. When it feels like it came down to, like, maybe if you pushed harder in the run up to the drumsticks, you would have a better chance of winning. You know, that's when it feels a little frustrating.
I think we're just really running low on villains here, guys. Now that, like, after Sarah's gone, now that Justin's gone, I think we're just very low on, like, dramatic storylines.
And that's okay. Mm-hmm. I actually like liking everybody.
Oh, yeah, no, totally. That's the master's mode.
It's really intense. Like, Chris was convinced that Nina was going to go home for her crazy corn.
Oh, that would have been hard to deal with, you guys.
I think she would have done better. Oh, well, you guys want to get to Last Chance?
Yeah, it's time for Last Chance Kitchen, so let's just jump into that. So Justin, after getting sent home, has to go down and face the Tom Mockery Gauntlet. Chris, why don't you tell us what the challenge was in Last Chance to be on television?
Yeah, Lewis is our reigning champion of Last Chance Kitchen, and Tom remarked that Justin had home field advantage cooking Louisiana food the whole time. So the challenge was, Lewis is from Northern California, so Justin had to cook with Northern California ingredients, and Lewis had to cook New Orleans food.
Mm-hmm.
And in a twist, Justin actually grew up in Northern California, too.
And so had
Terry Gross could totally help them, like, research the chef test with these quick fires.
Yeah.
That was a little silly.
So Lewis made some redfish in a crawfish head sauce, and Justin made sardines with some corn and stuff on them. Or no, some celery and stuff on them. And Lewis won.
Yeah. And Justin...
easy to overcook.
Well, yeah, and Justin did not feel good about going home for that, obviously.
And also, Justin had the mistake of having food on the grill and accidentally lighting on fire again.
Yeah. No surprise that he lost for having dry sardine when the sardine was on fire for a good 10 seconds.
I think this is the third dish he's had problems with dryness, right?
Right.
His pork was kind of dry.
And
he had
lighting things on fire. He does that a lot.
It's also the third time he's had dry food and been in denial about the dryness of his food.
Yeah.
Maybe he's just... Guys, wait. The issue is just he has a very wet mouth.
I was going to say, is he over-salivating? Is that why this keeps happening?
Yeah,
I just like my food dry.
I can't. I could and will not make about his dryness issue. But really,
it's masculine dryness.
There's like a weird emotional chemistry problem that he's having where I think it's his frustration mingled with his extreme confidence that creates this like scary level of like misunderstanding of his own food, or like he doesn't like see the flaws in it in the way that maybe a different chef might. So there's always this sense, there's this like horrifying surprise every time he fucks something up.
Yeah. That could very
like,
well
I didn't
have
know,
been,
I didn't know.
Yeah, that could very well have been his downfall, you know, the second half of this, of what we've seen so far, because he couldn't learn from what the judges were telling him.
Yeah, right. Looking back, it's like really pretty well telegraphed. He got dinged a lot of times for this, you know, for this dryness. And like, it's the kind of thing where...
you're right, Tanya. It makes me giggles now that you've said that. Thanks.
But yeah, so like, it's, you know, we see some other chefs where it's like, you know, they go down the bottom once, you're like, oh, I got humbled. Like, I'm really going to take it to heart and what the judges said. And like, often they don't have the skills to back it up. I think he did have the skills to back it up this time, but he couldn't listen to, you know, a damn thing they heard.
He either didn't understand them or he was stubborn. I don't know which one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a question.
Seemed like stubborn to me. Go ahead, Chris.
Oh, sorry. My question to the group is, I don't really know much about, you know, sardines. Where this is a food TV show, not a food show. Mm-hmm. But Justin seemed to finish his dish much earlier than Lewis did. And do you think
it's going to get dried out?
It was sitting on the plate. It might have gotten dried out a little bit.
I know that's happened before in other situations where people finish early.
When people finish early,
a problem.
It doesn't seem like an advantage to me. It seems like one of those advantages that's secretly a disadvantage.
Yeah.
I don't know.
A few seconds to spare is good.
Yeah,
well,
yeah.
Well, I mean, if he caught the fish on fire, it cooked it really quickly, right?
That's a very good point. You keep coming back to the fire thing, Sarah, and I think you're right about that.
Yeah. I think it was key.
I think the issue is he burnt it to shit, maybe.
Well, the other thing that we're not even acknowledging that he didn't acknowledge is that Tom said, if I had to find one flaw with your dish, it was that the sardine was a little dry, which is about as small of an insult as you could possibly have for a thing of food. And Justin just freaked out, like, no, my food wasn't dry. And he didn't say it was dry. He said, if I was forced to insult it, the best I could come up with was a little dry. So he cooked a great dish.
Sardine, his sardine was a little bit drier than Lewis's head sauce was spicy.
Exactly right. Yeah. Right. It's just in two great dishes, that was the best reason Tom could say why he preferred the other one.
For the record, I want to go on the record saying I don't like the phrase head sauce.
Yeah, nobody's
noted.
Nobody's sorry. Pulling for head sauce.
Fish head sauce. Yeah.
That's better, actually.
Looking ahead to next week for Last Chance Kitchen, do you think Lewis is going to continue his streak against the next?
I definitely think he'll beat Brian, yes.
Yeah, if it's Brian.
But Brian seems to do
Brian's
well
gonna win this season.
Quick fires, though.
No, he's not. He might get a distinct advantage from winning the quick fire. He seems like a quick fire specialist to me, I guess.
Yeah.
Alex, what odds will you give me on Brian winning the season?
100 to 1? 1,000 to 1? I don't know. Whatever, ask for it. I'll give it to you. All right.
Okay. I want 1,000,000 to 1. I'll bet you a penny.
That's a lot of money.
I'll give you 100 to 1 and a penny.
Okay, fine.
I'll give you 100 to 1 on half a penny.
Okay, even better.
Wait, all right.
Was that 50 cents?
Yeah. Yeah, but I don't know how I'll make the half a penny, so.
Yeah, we'll just have to make another bet so I can win another half penny from you.
Wait, add it to my tab.
Yeah, I will. So next week, you guys, I mean, I also would not be shocked if Carrie, I mean, like, the phone-in was so bad. Mm-hmm. If Carrie went home, I would not be shocked. She's just a little uneven. If Nina was in the bottom again, I would be shocked. Like, Nina's definitely my pick for win still.
Nina to recover right now.
Yeah, that was a fluke, I think.
Yeah, I still think the finale is Nina, Shirley, and Nicholas. I think. I think that's the way it's going to end up.
Carlos is going to bow out before then. I feel like he's getting a little more tenacious.
He is, but which
he just
also
starts claiming everything else.
Start claiming everything.
Sorry, guys.
Go too far when he claims Padma.
I need your.
What is Padma wearing? Carlos.
Oh.
I needed to finish my dish, you guys.
She stole my dress.
All right, really quick before we go, you guys, I just want to do a quick bit of listener mail from the comments mostly and a little from Twitter. Let's start here. Tanzenlicht on Tumblr. Anyway, on Tumblr said that it's great listening to us be enthusiastic about stuff. So this is a read and weep listener who enjoys us hearing us not be angry.
Yay.
Also, I thought the biscuit puns were going on a little too long. That was softening. She said way too long. He or she said way too long. But I said a little too long because I was being
Italian. Wait, our biscuit puns are not too long. I don't know what they're saying.
But also, biscuiticate still made this person laugh. So you can't say that it goes on too long and also that it was very funny. Because that...
No, you I think you totally can. It's like, hey, I liked the first 10 minutes of the movie. The movie went out for 8 hours.
Okay, that's fair. But I thought biscuiticate came pretty late in that
I was going to say, I think you'd have... Yeah, if we were...
If we were a show that edited like Read It and Weep, we would have taken the first two, cut the middle, and ended with biscuiticate.
Yeah, it was like gravy train, and then biscuiticate, and out.
All right, guys.
I'm sure this person's loving the rehash.
We're continuing this party here the wrong way.
Yeah,
stop this gravy train.
We got a couple of other people who said that the biscuits thing went on a little too long. Yeah, so that's the...
Oh, really? Tell me more about that.
Yeah, let's go on more in depth.
Actually, one other thing I did want to mention, though, Danielle, again, who said that was telling us about the favorite meal, which I asked for from childhood, and she talked about her favorite meals that her mom and dad used to make was fried yam with a tomato-based pepper sauce and fried fish, which she said probably not that common outside of West Africa, but it's her favorite thing. She lives for it.
I love that it's fried.
Sounds
mixing
cool.
Fried with fried is brilliant.
I do like that. I also like... Like, I guess our cheese love might have been a bit Westo-centric. We were a little...
Cheese-o-centric.
A little cheese-o-centric in that. So now that leads me to this. For next week, I want to hear you guys go to packyourmics.com and let us know what your favorite college food memory was. And are we the only ones who remember school as almost exclusively stealing from dorm food? That was, like, the key to college for us. I wonder, does that happen in West Africa? That's what I want to know.
Well, what if someone didn't go to college? Is there an alternative question?
Nope. Highest level of schooling you went to, food memory.
Nah. Or just in your late teens and early 20s.
Yeah, yeah.
I guess the period of time when you had to prepare some of your food and didn't exactly know what you were doing, whatever that was for you.
Well, the other thing I'm really interested in is when do people on average become, like, people who become foodies, like, when does that happen? Are there, like, high school kids who really get food and care about it? Or is it...
I cared about food a good amount.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Huh. Didn't seem like it.
Wow.
I made bread for us in the writing
you
house.
Did, you did. You did make bread for us. That's true. That's true.
That.
Right. It just seems like to me it's something that happens. Well, it has to do with how much you're cooking at home, obviously.
Yeah,
cooking
I mean, like own. For me, it was I really liked food when I was young, and so I was like, well, I want to make sure that I could be a source for that food.
Am I?
Like, I don't want to have to depend on someone else to feed me.
That's so funny. Mine is exactly the opposite. Am I the only one who is like, I'm really into food, but I dislike having to be part of the cooking process? I really like when people make food for me. That's what I like.
So you didn't make food
for me. I was like you, Alex, but Ez was never like that. He would make me food when we were 16 years old. He was always in. I think it's because his parents.
Yeah, his parents like cooking a lot more than mine do, I think. Yeah.
Well, mine actually do too. So
but your mom kept you out of the kitchen.
Yeah,
for a while.
My mom was like, I'm better at this than everyone, and she was right, so I didn't get to cook.
Oh, interesting.
There it is.
The kitchen is mine.
That's the same reason I played board games
someone
alone.
Someone was being a bit of a Carlos.
She called dibs on the whole kitchen.
She did. And she was right, too.
Well, thank you guys so much for listening. Answer any one of those questions at packyourmics.com or tweet at us at packyourmics. You can go to facebook.com/packyourmics as well and comment there. Those are the best places to go. And if you want to help support our show, you can go to packyourmics.com/Amazon whenever you're buying something from Amazon. And a portion of the proceeds of that sale will go to us to help us keep the lights on, the mics running. I guess you wouldn't care.
I recommend
an
$18 George Foreman grill, guys. Amazon. totally worth it.
A lot of good things you can get on a grill. Oh, we didn't even talk about Stephanie's grilled cheese sandwich in tomato soup.
Oh.
Yeah.
We just gave her a pass, I guess.
Or the part where everyone like said whether or not they went to college, which became pretty awkward, or the part where they all got their own lunch lady and then talked to the lunch ladies about how much they needed to win cars, which I felt was really awkward.
That is awkward. I didn't catch that.
Well, yeah, like one of the lunch ladies, like,
oh yeah, Nicholas. Lunch. Go ahead, Ez.
Well, I was just like, one of the lunch ladies maybe has like a Cadillac dealership. She's like, eh, whatever.
Yeah.
I
got cars.
RAV4. I got 8 Cadillacs.
Yeah, well, Nicholas said, I think it was Nicholas who was like, yeah, I really need that car because I have a kid, and so it'll go well with my other SUV that we already have.
Doesn't understand.
Collection.
Really need. It's a different use of the word. Really.
Yeah, exactly.
Elderly food service worker.
Yeah,
that seems like a good call.
That was a little weird. The other thing I wanted to say about the grilled cheese was like, besides the fact that you guys are all wrong, the grilled cheese should live in the soup. I don't mind it when it's soggy.
You just put it in a second later. When
you put it in yourself.
Oh god.
Well, but the
Alex, you can't get to both halves in time. You know, like the first half maybe is good.
Okay.
Yeah, full of cheeses that did not all melt, and we all know how I feel about a cheese shake.
Yeah, we do. So. That I agree with for sure. Well, I guess the thing I wanted to say about that, though, was like it was Justin gave her the green light to put the sandwich in the soup, so not everything he touches is dry.
The dryness like, touch.
Yeah.
He's trying to sabotage her.
I suffer from chronic dryness.
Yeah.
I suffer from chronic brawny syndrome. Everything just gets absorbed. Yeah.
He does look kind of like the brawny man.
Yes, a little bit. A little bit. All right, that's it. Last thoughts? Anybody else? Last call. All right, we'll see you guys on the internet. We'll talk to everybody next week. No, not next week. There's no Christmas episode, so we will be back in 2 weeks or maybe even 3. I have to check the schedule, but we'll be back soon. Enjoy your holidays, and thanks for listening to Pack Your Mics. Chris, sorry to do this to you on the holidays, buddy.
Huh?
You're suffering from a male dryness issue.
Oh, no.
Pack your mics and go see Lewis.
I think it was the fire. It was the fire's fault.
Yeah. Yep.
I never got a chance to cook my soup.
It's just like a bowl of powder.
Yeah. Well, and also, Chris, another major mistake. You called dibs on going home today. So pack your mics and go.
Oh. Okay. Well, I had a good run. Thanks.
All right. Goodbye, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.